You're listening to All Marine Radio, the All Warrior Radio Network. On a product. Join me, Pete Kimball Holmes, otherwise known as the All Marine Radio head chef. What is up, my friend? How are you?
Hey, fabulous, fabulous! Another day in paradise here.
Yeah,
how's gonna latest turning now.
Wait,
so in the 40s and 50s next week. It's in the 70s, and baby, we're off and running.
yeah,
you're about damn time.
Yeah, you are. Unbelievable, man. I thought when you get older, you kind of like gravitate to warm places. Like, are you part of, like, you're gonna stick it out, and you're gonna stick it out in the cold. You ever thought about moving?
No. We love it here in the summertime. Yes, I want to be out of here in the winter. It's a matter of finances for us. So.
Oh, really? I thought you were tunned up. You were tunned up. What happened?
Come on, man. It's called Uncle Sam. Are you fucking kidding me?
I thought you had all these years, man. I thought you were like Boku Green Energy, man. I thought you were all about it.
Well, I was, because my kids, all the people that worked for me had to have full health insurance. I was a very generous guy with the arts and the Community Violence Intervention Center. You know, that's where my money went, and buying art for my restaurant. And, you know, when it's all said and done,
yeah,
I'm living, I'm comfortable, and I'll get a chunk when I get paid off fine in a few more years for the building.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I'm carrying the contract for him, and he's doing great. The restaurant's gorgeous.
So are we going to are we going to look for you in a warmer climate when Ellie Mae strikes oil out shooting muskrats? Is that what you're telling me? But you're never going to move, though, are you? Because look, truth be told, you love summer up there, which lasts about 90 days, all right? And winter, not so much. That lasts about 7-8 months. So,
I'm married. My wife's from Northwood. That's 25 miles southwest.
That's right. That's right. Northwood.
Her family, she loves it here. If it was up to me, I'd be gone in a New York minute. I would come back for the summers, but from Christmas to May 1st, I wouldn't be able to be found here, and I've got friends all over the country, and, you know, like fish, after 3 days, you have to throw it out.
Yeah.
So my plan would be to go to my friends and mooch off of them for 3 days, all winter long, and I get to drive all over the country from New England to, I'd do fall in New England, go right down the coast to Florida, come across New Orleans. My niece is moving there after she graduates from college next May. Ooh. And then Arizona, and then all the way up to Washington State. And spend a nice month or two in at least a month in Southern California.
Well, yeah, but see, I don't think that's a very good plan, because here's what you're not thinking about.
What?
Look, most people that show up, why do you want them to leave? Because they're a pain in the ass. Now, when you show up and you're a chef,
Yeah.
That's not the same, bro. I got to tell you. When you show up and you say, look, man, if you just buy the groceries, you got to do that anyway, I'll cook you some food. Yeah. Bro, you don't have to. The three-day rule doesn't apply to you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. And in many places, absolutely true. I could stay a week, 2 weeks, a month, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you select more of your friends that are fat, okay, you know you can stay as long as you want.
I don't have any friends that are fat. Just me.
You don't have any fat friends? Come on.
No.
Everybody's got fat friends. How about Husky?
I'm trying to think, and I have no fat friends.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a mistake. You've got to find some fat friends, and that way, even you know you can stay as long as you want.
Yeah. Well, and also with my friends, you met a few of them. It wouldn't be a matter of me cooking for them. They just want to hang out and have a good time. And that's my specialty. That's how I got in the restaurant business. And that's the part I miss, is throwing a party every night. So, that would be my dream retirement plan. I have a nice car, gets nice mileage. All I have to do is spend money on gas and a little bit of money left over to buy stuff on the road, a hotel room. I could sleep in my car between stops.
Come on, man. Car sleeping sucks. You know that.
I wouldn't sleep in my car. I'm just joking. But,
okay. Right.
A plan for me, and probably we'll initiate it after we sell, get our final payment on the building. I'm certainly, Beth is welcome to come with me. I prefer it that way. But if she wants to hold up here in the winter, adios, mama.
Come on, she must not be
out with her family in the Phoenix area. And I see her there about halfway through my ride. And if she wants to go along for a segment of it, I'd love to have her, man. I prefer to have her, quite frankly, because we have fun when we're in the car doing road trips. Yeah. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, I'm patient. Which is kind of an oxymoron for me, but, yeah. Life's great for me right now. And my whole attitude has changed now that the sun's out. We've had the doors open on the patio for the last few days.
Oh man, living the good life.
Oh, I get to live the dream for 6 months.
Yeah. Grandpa got to go outside today. That's awesome.
Yeah. I prefer to travel in the wintertime and driving, not flying. I don't like airplanes. I like my car. I like my freedom. I like my music. That's the way I would roll if I had my choice.
All right. So it's April. It's April 27th. So you got May, yeah. June, July, August, September. So you got
October.
Don't go October on me. October changes. The windows will get
shut. I would leave Washington State at the beginning of October and get back here by the first week in October. Now, when I came here, North Dakota in 1985.
Yeah.
I left Lake Chelan where I was food and beverage manager for this great restaurant on Lake Chelan. This is in Washington State above Wenatchee. I had my 1970 Ford phone company van that was stuck. everything I owned. I had just gotten divorced. And I called it Shaft because my wife got the gold mine. And I had $500 in my pocket. And I took off. It took me 4 days to get from Lake Chelan to Grand Forks. I pulled in on October 4th. It snowed October 5th, and I didn't see the ground until April. Swear to God. That was my intro to North Dakota 101. And I said, you know, I was feeling a little bummed about being divorced and all that stuff, but I was happy to be free. But I said to Bob, I said, I didn't know hell was cold.
especially for this long. And this year has been long.
It hasn't been snow like they get on the East Coast, Northeast, right. All over, up and down the East. But
Montana just got 6 inches of snow last week.
Yeah, but that's in the mountains, baby. They deserve it. They need the water table. Same with California. It can snow in the Sierras until June. It should, because then it's starting to fill up the reservoirs again. They've been in a 10-year drought, and they need the moisture. So that's a good thing for California.
Is that how that works? They need it. They living up in the mountains. That's how that goes.
Well, you've never been a skier, but right now.
What do you mean? I skied in Northern California. Grew up in Sacramento. Went up to Squaw Valley and Heavenly. Yeah, I mean, I was not like a black diamond person. I didn't know how to turn very well, but I find a straightaway. I put those skis together, and I wasn't afraid to run into somebody at the bottom of the hill to stop. I could ski.
Heavenly was the first place I skied.
Yes,
and went up there for. In high school, and my friend had a cabin up there, his family did, and so I never skied before. I said, shouldn't I start on the bunny slope?
Nah,
I'll show you how to turn, how to stop. We're going right to the top. That's just beautiful.
It's easy. No problem.
Yeah, well, I got caught, and guess what I came down? Gun barrel.
Oh, really?
Gun barrel, folks, for those who don't know, is this 1,000-foot drop that is steeper than you know what, and it took me about an hour to get down. I'd go a little bit, and I'd fall on my ass. I'd slide maybe 1,500 feet. I'd dust myself off, and that's how it was until I got to the bottom.
Exactly. And, Come on, man. What did you want? Did you want to go down Cherry Boy style?
No. And Tom was, he was skiing along with me, laughing the whole time. Hey, you got to learn, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to learn now. Get up. Get going. We got drinks down there at the bar.
I'll see you in a couple hours.
No. He was good with me. Anyway, I went from there to when I was in Switzerland, I did helicopter skiing.
Oh, no kidding. Back in the day, they had helicopters back then.
Yeah. Back in the 70s, they had actual helicopters. They dropped us off at behind the Jungfrau, which is 13,000 feet. And we ski on the glacier down to Italy. Helicopter pick us up and take us to another peak, and then we'd ski back to the village I lived in.
That sounds like a good time. That sounds like a good time.
Oh my God, was it a good time? It was breathtaking. I mean, you talk about feeling like a speck in the universe when the helicopter pulls away and you're standing there at the top of this, on the back of this mountain at 13,000 feet.
Right.
Looking down the glacier, and the guide, who was happened to be head of the ski school in Bingen, says, now, you'll stay within 12 meters on each side of me. Otherwise, you might fall into a crevasse. And then he says, if you fall into the crevasse, that's it, baby, you're done. Well, I mean, were you shitting me?
Yeah, what? And, what did he just say?
Yeah. And so, needless to say, I was about 6-8 feet off of his flank, and behind guys that had make the tracks before, and it was good. And I did that twice, and it was just thrilling for me. Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
I'm not sure about that, man. I'm not sure about that.
Oh man, it was stunning. And powder snow, when we were going down the north side after they dropped us off after picking us up in Italy, the powder was like waist deep, and when you went down, you had to close your mouth because the snow was coming over your shoulders.
Whoa.
And then you pop up.
Close your mouth? What do you mean, close your mouth?
Because you'll eat snow. The snow was, you know, the powder was going over your shoulders, and it was just your head sticking out. And so you'd come up, that's... and while you were turning, you'd breathe, and then you'd go down again. And skiing on hard pack is totally different than skiing on powder.
Yeah, skiing on hard pack is life-threatening, okay? Just so you know. It is not.
Well, I know.
It's not really skiing. But it is hoping.
It's always on the downhill ski.
Not on ice. Not on ice like that. I did that at Lake Tahoe. I actually am a decent skier, but I would go up there. We'd blow off school when we were in junior college, and we'd go up there for the day. Yeah. And you're talking about, you know, places where they've held the Olympics. And so, you know, you're hanging out with you're hanging out with your friends. Like, let's go to the top. Like, let's not and say we did. No, come on. You know, don't be a pussy. Let's go. Like, oh, now we got to play this game. All right. Now I'm in. And so you go to the top and you're like, and then if they haven't got a lot of snow, right, and it's windy up there, you have the sun during the day, creating a little bit of moisture, and then that, you know, the cold, cold temperature at night creating ice. And so if there's no new snow, you got that ice and wind up there, and it's just trying to dig your edges in at the top of a hill. That's a below average experience if you're not a very, very experienced skier. Am I right about that?
Yeah, 100%.
100%, baby.
And that's how it was when I started to ski. And then when I was in Switzerland, I owned my own skis, and I learned how to sharpen skis before when I got in every night and get them ready for the next day and wax the bottom.
Really?
Sharpen the edge.
Weren't you working?
No. You do that either when you get off work or when you finish skiing before you went to work.
But you're in the hospitality industry. So when you get off work, aren't you normally too drunk to do anything else?
No. When I got off work, see, as long as you had in Switzerland, as long as you have a hotel guest in the bar,
yes,
the bar stays open.
Okay.
So
That doesn't sound like a good way to stay sober.
Hey, you know, it's a business, it's entertainment, baby. And right. I happen to be blessed.
It's showbiz, baby. I got it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, so the bar is still open most nights.
If there's a hotel guest in the bar and they want a drink, you stay open.
Okay.
But if there's not a hotel guest in the bar, you can close down at 10 o'clock and then
go watch your skis.
I go, No, I'd go down to the town, the different discotheques and bars, and hang out with the other workers that were getting off work in kitchens and stuff like that.
Right, and so and then after drinking and hanging out with them, then you'd go wax your skis.
No, I'd wax. I'm going to wax my skis if I have time before I go to work. I do it when I'm finished skiing and get them prepped for the day.
That's a good call.
If not,
I think that's a good call.
Yeah, and if not, then I would do it before I went skiing in the morning. It only took a short time, you know. You have a flat iron, and you have we had a little setup where we put the skis. You sharpen the edges with an edge sharpener, and then you take a stick of wax, and you melt it on the bottom of the ski, depending on the weather conditions, and then you take a flat iron and you melt the wax all evenly, and then you take a scraper, and then you scrape from the tip to the stern, and there you're ready, good to go. That's it.
Damn. Sounds good.
It was. It was fun. And, God damn, it was fun. And I always skied with at least a half a dozen people, and you know, and in Europe, you're skiing down the mountain, and you know, where we lived in Switzerland, the farmers just dropped their fences, the wire on the fence, and it snowed, and you're skiing through pastures, and the smart farmers would have a deck, and they'd set up a little area we could stop by and get a shot of schnapps and tea, cool, and maybe a little carrot cake. They called it Rubli-Torte.
We like
and,
that.
Oh, fuck. It was great. And, you know, you'd sit there, and then we'd take wine and bread and cheese and salami, and we'd hike off piste off the regular trail and go up. There's this one place we used to go all the time. You had to sidestep up about, I don't know, 300 feet upside this hill, and it's called Plum Pudding Hill. And then we'd set up our little camp and have lunch and a few party favors and stuff, and then ski the rest of the afternoon, and then be home by 3 o'clock, 2:30, and take a bath, rub Tiger Balm all over my knees, my joints.
Which never works. Tiger Balm. What is Tiger Balm? Some Asian thing, right?
Yes.
Makes your skin tingle.
It comes in white salve. It comes in red salve. And I was introduced to Tiger Balm in Switzerland, but it was a liquid form.
Oh.
And whenever I got a headache, I used that behind my earlobes.
What?
Rub it in.
Oh, man.
And on my temples.
No wonder you got issues, man.
I never took an aspirin in Switzerland, ever.
Whoa.
I'm just telling you.
I'm just saying.
I still use it today.
You still use Tiger Balm today?
Yep, I sure do. I believe in it.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure that whatever it does, only you would know.
We're going to talk about grilled artichokes today.
Yes, we are. And if we have time, pasta primavera.
The other thing that Beth sent me a picture of was Cook's Illustrated all-time best spring recipes.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, that's where I got the grilled artichokes recipe. When I got it the other day, Beth came home with it, and I forgot. I used to eat artichokes all the time when I lived in California, and we'd grill them, do all kinds of stuff. But it got me excited to get try artichokes again this summer on the grill, and there, you know, there are a few tricks you have to do that I'll talk about today. I'm not going to talk. You read the recipe. You got it posted. I sent it yesterday.
Okay.
And I will hit on those highlights so you don't hurt yourself when you're cooking these things or eating them. Now, when you get an artichoke, you buy an artichoke, and California has the best artichokes in the world. Or wherever you are that has...
Wait. We're not doing it yet. I was just asking about it. I want to hear about the cookbook first before we talk about anything else.
It's a magazine. It's a magazine first.
And so they put out special editions?
Yes. This is an all-time best spring recipe. And it's got pictures and unbelievably easy instructions and steps, and anybody who can read can do this. And it's about, 90-plus pages of recipes and cleaning instructions, cutting everything. And this is just the spring version. Now, these special magazines, it's spring, winter, fall, summer. You know, there's about four of these specials that come out. If you get into this magazine, you can get them. You can buy a script and send them out every couple of months, or you can read them online if you would sign up. We talked about that briefly last week.
Yeah.
But I like having a magazine where I can read the recipe and refer to it and look at the pictures and get an idea of how something's going to turn out. We got a couple of emails last week of people that heard our Thanksgiving special and went out and got the magazine and say, oh my God, what a reference book. And that's how you're going to use it, you know.
Now, I can hear some people out there thinking, Thanksgiving, there's no way I can, you know, mess with the Thanksgiving recipes. And to them we say, of course you don't mess with Mount Rushmore, okay? You got to do Mount Rushmore. But it doesn't mean you can't have a second, right, set of stuffing. It doesn't mean you can't have a second turkey or prepare elements of a second turkey a certain way and add a little variety. So you can still have the base. See, I've learned all this stuff from Kim. You know, he's taught me. Over the course of the years, I paid attention. He doesn't think I have, but I have.
Oh, no. That's why I'm still on the radio with you, because you do listen. And sometimes it's hard for me to get in a word in edgewise, but you listen intently and you've always thought of the recipes. That's what I love about this show is because you're a believer.
Did you just say it? Sometimes it's hard for me to get a word in edgewise. Did you just say it? Did that just come out of your mouth?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. Hey, it is what it is. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about artichokes. Hey, so when we today's are we talking about grilling artichokes or preparing them some other way?
Well, you they're a real tough vegetable, and so you have to boil them first, and then cut them in half, then do some prep and we'll go get into that. And then you grill them. And then you grill them. Yeah, you want to grill these puppies. And it's only 2 to 4 minutes aside to grill them. And then they're in and the easy sauce and stuff up. We'll talk about it.
Okay. We'll talk about it. All right. With all of that said, more of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
When the ammo dump exploded, man, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side, and that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch, slamming against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem, the wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh, my God, you know, you're not going to survive this, you know. Little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor. It's a story of Bravo Company 126. It's a documentary film about the 77-day siege of Quezon. But the film speaks for all Vietnam veterans and to every Marine who ever wore the uniform. It's a story produced by a grunt who was there for the entire siege. Its history over the lip of a trench is told by 14 Marines and one Navy corpsman. It's award-winning. It's available right now on Amazon Prime. We want you to watch it. We want you to review it. And we want you to share it. Because from us at All Marine Radio, it's a story not only about their courage and valor. It's a story about what it is to live a life where you take care of each other, and also what it is to deal with the wounds of war, all these years later. Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor. It's available on Amazon Prime right now. Watch it, review it, and share it.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Well, you're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going
on. A little bit of hippie music here on a Friday. A little bit of hippie music on a Friday.
Thank you.
Email. Hey, Mac, I'd be curious to hear from the chef. Does he believe that all this stuff we're seeing between North and South Korea, is it Lucy going to pull the football out away, or is it legit? Yeah, what do you think? We'll talk a little foreign policy with the All Marine Radio head chef. Lucy pull. What do you think, Lucy pulling the football out, or is it legit?
I wouldn't trust him.
Really?
For 30 seconds.
Hold on. If he comes into your joint and he hands you a credit card, are you asking him for cash?
No, because my machine will check whether the credit card has any money in it.
Okay, so you're not getting stiff.
Before I bring it back, and if he doesn't have any money in it, I bring him back two pieces of his credit card because I've cut it.
All right, so you think that this is Lucy in the football?
I don't know. I just... Who knows? I think he wants, he's sucking up to a South Korean president, walking, holding hands, you know, whatever it was. I saw last night on TV.
Planted a tree together? But we've never seen this before, you know what I mean? We've never seen this kind of stuff.
If it works, absolutely. I'm all over it. Right. Are you going to tell me that North Korea is going to get rid of their nuclear capabilities?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I had a friend. Come on and say, I'm cautiously pessimistic about it, which I thought was funny.
Amen.
All right, do you remember Bill Cosby doing skits in the 60s where he would talk about Spanish Fly?
Yes. Yeah, I do now, yeah.
Do you remember? I mean, he did a skit based on giving women, you know, Spanish Fly. It's kind of creepy to think about that now, you know?
When you think about it now, it's exceptionally creepy.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s. When he said it, you know, if you wanted Spanish Fly, you had to go to Mexico to get them.
Yeah. It was
humorous to me.
Yeah.
But not now. Not now.
Well, I don't know.
Disgusting.
I remember as a kid listening to albums that had that on it.
Yes, and Fat Albert. I mean, look, he the Cosby Show. I mean, he was America's dad, kind of Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah,
Huxtable, whatever it is.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, it crushed a lot of people to see he was this way. I mean, look, I thought he was the only when I started questioning him was when he started lecturing people like Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, who's the other comedian, the Beverly Hills Cop comedian.
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. I mean, they always dropped the F-bombs. That was their show.
Right.
Lenny Bruce,
right.
Back in the day.
Right.
But they were funnier than hell.
Right.
And for him to take the high road and say, you can do comedy without, well, yeah, you can do it without swearing. But in their context, it was funny as heck. And so I thought he was a little bit holier than thou. And that's when he kind of lost me then.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to that. He kind of lost me after, like, the 30th woman came out and said, yeah, he sexually assaulted me. That's when I said, hmm. And then when the number got to 60, I was like, yeah, good thing he's a rich guy, because if he was a poor guy, he'd be in jail by now. His ass would have been in jail or dead already. All right, let's talk about artichokes. So just so everybody knows, we're going to talk about artichokes. You can go to the All Marine Radio, the beautiful All Marine Radio website. And
it is gorgeous, too.
Thank you very much. And Kim's all over that thing. And you'll see the entry. There's no audio yet, but it says the head chef grilled artichokes in a special spring edition of Cooks Illustrated. So if you click on that thing, you click on that bad boy, you'll see a picture of the artichokes. It's not a great picture, but I took it off the page that Kim sent me. And when the website blows it up for the full page view, it's a little grainy, but that's all right. We'll live with it. And then there's the page that has the recipe and the discussion of grilled artichokes. And if you scroll down, there's also the cover of the Cooks Illustrated all-time best spring recipes, brunch favorites, foolproof entrees, fresh salads, spaghetti with spring vegetables, all of that included in it. You see a picture of it, so Beth included that. So with all that said, you can find that on the website right now if you want to follow along on your scorecard. The
I love this.
There you go. So artichokes to me, I never liked them as a kid because they always look moderately threatening. Like something that you weren't supposed to touch because they were kind of brutal rough.
Well, they are intimidating because when you touch a fresh artichoke, you say, how in the hell can I bite into this? Well, baby folks, you can. But what we're going to talk about to start with, the few things I want talk about, I'll talk about picking them out and cooking them.
Uh-huh.
How the process of getting to the rest of the recipe, and you can do that yourself. But it's real important, and it says it in the magazine, when you select an artichoke, folks, you look at it, it has to be bright green, and no blemishes, and then tight leaves, and not flopping open or loose. They should all be around the choke itself and firm. And when you squeeze an artichoke, it should squeak.
What?
You know, that's right, folks. It should squeak.
Make,
that means
make that sound
the moisture content. The moisture content is still good in there, and it's fresh. Now, having picked out your artichoke, you don't want, 8 to 10 ounces, 12 ounces a piece. Okay?
All right.
Now, you take it home, you cut the bottom quarter inch of the stem off, and then any leaves that are still on the stem, you pull them off completely, and the ones around the bottom, they're layered. You'll see it when you see an artichoke, if you haven't already. You snap off the bottom ones, because they're just too tough, even when you cook them, and they get in the way. And then, all the way around the artichoke, and then you hold your artichoke and you take a potato peel, your vegetable peeler, and you peel that skin off the stem of the artichoke until you see the inside. And you can eat the inside, folks. We're going to eat a lot of this artichoke, but we got to trim a lot of it off. Then you take some kitchen scissors or cooking shears, whatever you have, or if you don't have those, a very sharp serrated edge knife, but this just goes scissors because you have to snip, and then you cut off the top part of the head, the tip of the artichoke. You cut it down maybe a half an inch, and just you cut that off. And then you hold the stem or the artichoke, and then you take those scissors, and then you cut those sharp tips off the artichoke leaves. Okay? So they're down maybe a quarter to half an inch. You cut those off. And then you boiling water with salt and, lemon juice and all that stuff. You'll see it. And the whole artichoke then is you throw it in the water. And you cook that until you can take a paring knife and it slides in and out around the base where it's the biggest, in and out easily. Then you take them and then you drain them. You put them on the cut edge, you put them up on a drain board and drain all the moisture out of it. It'll come out. And then you cut them in half. Okay? And then there's what is called the choke in the center of it. And it's a little fuzzy stuff, like little furry stuff, that you have to take a spoon, a teaspoon, and you scrape all that out. You'll see it. It'll be visual to you. And that is on top of the heart of the artichoke. When you hear people say, well, that was the heart of the artichoke, that means you had to work for the center, the best bites. But you take that off, and the fuzzy part, it's called the choke, and you scrape that out. And then you take your grill, you heat that up, all the burners on high, 15 minutes till it's a smoking mofo. And then your grates are cleaned and oiled, and your artichoke is going to be brushed with oil, and then you put it face side down, for 2 to 4 minutes until it gets a little char. You'll see on the picture. Don't be frightened. That's the deluxe flavor. And then turn it on its back, so the cut part is up, and at 2 to 4 minutes, depending on the size. And then you put them on a platter, put a foil pan over, and then you melt your butter, your lemon zest, and it's all self-explanatory in the article. And that is your dipping sauce. And then you put your artichoke on the serving plate, with the cut side down, and then you pull each leaf off. And at the bottom of that leaf is the meat of the artichoke. And you dip that in the butter and then put it in your mouth, and with your teeth, you pull the tip, the leaf out, and you're left with little nibble of delectability.
Did you just say delectability?
Delectability. Delectableness.
And like, I like that.
hey, when you work in a kitchen as long as I have, you develop your own language.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I mean, I've never called a broiler a broiler. Call it the curly.
The what?
The curly, like curly hair. Oh, put it in the curly.
Why?
And which they'll brown it and like your melted cheese. You put it under the curly and it melts the cheese. It browns the top. That's just a kitchen term. No one else other than you and your guests have ever heard that, and you heard it first today.
I did.
But anyway, the artichoke is great. And you get all those leaves, and you have a bowl where you throw the discarded leaf, and then is the center of the artichoke, and you can eat that. It should be a half moon, and that when you go to the store and you see artichoke hearts in jars and stuff or cans, that's what it is. That's the heart of the artichoke.
So that's
what you work for, and that's the reward.
Did I miss the part about how do you season it? Do you season it to taste? What do you do? How do you season it?
When you it's brushed with oil when you grill it. You can season it with salt and pepper, and in the water that you cook it. All the instructions are there. There's some lemon zest, lemon juice, red chili flakes, that gives it a little flavoring in it. Basically salt and pepper, over the choke, and then the flavor comes in the dipping butter. Now,
I got it.
Yeah. Now, my first artichoke, and I'm going to tell you this little story because this is the first time I ever saw an artichoke. I was in school in Pennsylvania, not prep school, and I had this girlfriend who was from Scarsdale, New York. Okay. That's a very uptown suburb. And we were in her grandmother's house for lunch. I was meeting her grandmother and stuff for the first time. And she was a hard ass bitch. I wasn't worldly, Scarsdale and I had a Madras button down chinos and penny loafers on, but that wasn't good enough for her to go to lunch with. But she had an elevator in her house. But we're sitting down to lunch. And the first course was an artichoke heart. And they came out and cooked and everything, and they had cut the stem off, and it's sitting in front of me. And I looked at it. I'd never seen one in my life.
Yeah.
And then there was this little dish on the side of the plate. It was a mixture of mayonnaise and garlic, and then there was a little dish of melted butter. And and I didn't know how to eat it. And from my
wait a minute, your grandma though was Ladies' Home Journal. How did you not know?
Listen, she never cooked artichokes for me.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, and I'm looking at the hostess, the grandmother,
mm-hmm.
because I was taught you never, when you're at a fancy place, you never eat until the hostess starts to eat. So I'm sitting there, my hands in my lap, looking at her with laser eyes. And I glanced over to my girlfriend across the table, and I went, you know, kind of gave that expression in with my palms up, going, you know, like, what the F is this?
What do I do?
And I didn't say a word. And then I went back to staring at her, and then she started eating the artichoke. And I watched her until she did a couple of leaves, and I noticed that she put the leaf in her mouth and then pulled it out and then threw the rest of the leaf away. Well, she arranged it around the bottom of the artichoke on the side behind the artichoke. And so I got through that. And then to embarrass me even more, she, we're about halfway through it. And she says, "How's your artichoke?" I said, "Well, this is my first one." And I didn't know her well enough to say I'm a virgin artichoke art lover. But being in the situation I was in, I said, "This is my first experience with artichokes." And then she was loosened up a little bit. She kind of giggled and says, "Well, the point of this is to get to the artichoke heart. Now, don't eat that fuzzy stuff. I mean, in the center." I said, "What's that?" "Well, that fuzzy stuff. You'll see it. You'll get to it, but just scoop that out and put it inside. Don't eat it." And so I got through that. And by the time I finished, I was exhausted. But to do it the way we're doing it today, you'll love it. You'll love it, and it's a great dish to have when you're having a few people over. And it's something, if you really want, you could do all that preparation, even cooking the artichoke to tenderness, and then the day before, and then pull them out of the refrigerator, let them come to room temperature, and then lather them with oil, salt, and pepper, and throw them on the grill. And that's if you got more than a few people coming over, and you don't have all day to, or all afternoon to fix them. It takes about 25 to 30 minutes to cook the artichoke heart in the water, and you're simmering it over medium-low heat. You'll see it. You'll eat it.
Got it.
But I hope everybody tries one, because it's a great side with a steak or any kind of chicken, and that's your vegetable. And it's great as a first course before you get in, if you're having a dinner party, before you get into the main dinner. And you, oh, yeah, we're going to have, I'm going to grill artichokes for the first course. Whoa, you're in the front row, baby. You're big time.
Just don't be afraid to provide a class to everybody, because it's not something that appears on everybody's menu on a regular basis. All right, sir. First of all, thank you for the visit. It was,
I love it. Thank you.
It was tell Beth thank you for her hard work, and we appreciate it.
We're going to do some more stuff out of this magazine next week that I will have sent to Matt by Wednesday, and then away we go for another and the other one I sent him is the cover, the dish that's on the cover of the magazine, the Pasta Primavera.
Yeah.
And that is a real good dish with garlic bread if you want, or just the tossed salad. So there you go, folks.
Yeah, the Olive Garden has made an industry of it. All right, sir, you have a great weekend. Thank you very much for the visit.
Hey, one other thing.
Yes.
Thank God the Yankees got healthy on the Twins. Whenever they're in the dump, all they have to do is play the Twins.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, if you're a Twins fan, you're hurting. Three-run home run in the bottom. Down 3-1, a three-run home run in the bottom of the ninth yesterday in walk-off fashion. So, good day to be a Yankee fan. All right, sir, have a great weekend.
You too, my brother.
There you have it. The one and only.
Bye, everyone.
The one and only All Marine Radio head chef.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
When the ammo dump exploded, man, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side. And that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch. Slamming against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem. I had wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low round and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh, my God, you're not going to survive this, you know. Little did I know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Bravo, Common Man, Uncommon Valor is a story of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines. It's a documentary film about the 77-day siege of Quezon. But the film speaks for all veterans and every Marine who ever wore the uniform. It's a story produced by a grunt who was there for the entire siege. It's history over the lip of a trench, as told by 14 Marines and a Navy corpsman. It's an award-winning documentary. It's available right now on Amazon Prime. Watch it, review it, and share it. That's your task.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.